It's the show that's all about hockey. This is the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show, presented by Shaws and Star Market. Download their Just For You app and save today.
With a rocket.
Also brought to you by Rodenheiser Home Services and Sports Etc. Now, Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, and Bob Beers.
Welcome in to another edition of the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. We are with you every Saturday morning from 9 until 11, talking Bruins NHL hockey with you and taking your calls at 617-779-0985. And we serve as kind of a pre-game show today as well. The Bruins have an afternoon game at the Garden against the New York Rangers, the first of, I believe it's five straight Saturday afternoon games for the Bruins. So if you like your matinee hockey, you'll get a good dose of it here coming up over the next month or so. We are joined, as always, by Judd Surratt and Bob Beers, who will be calling that game here this afternoon across the Bruins radio network. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Well, kind of a mixed bag this week. The Bruins burst forth with four goals against the Rangers on Thursday night, and we hope that they can carry that over till today. But that's where we'll start, is a lot of talk this week, including from Don Sweeney, about needing to see more scoring, needing to see more offense from this team. They saw it on Thursday night. Is it a one-game burst, or do we expect that things will start to trend up here as guys like DeBrusque and Krejci finally find the back of the net?
Well, it's gone through different trends already, right? You start the season with three or four games where you struggle to score. You're wondering what things are going to look like, five on five. And then you break out of it. And you put up some good numbers there for a little while. Power play helps that. The five on five was better for a little while. And then all of a sudden now you hit another dip. So not sure exactly where this team is right now. I think the fact that the power play has scored now in two straight games is really going to, that can help other areas. Offensively, it can help get players going offensively. And David Krejci scored on the power play the other day, his first goal this season. And like you said, that the DeBrusque goal and a great pass from Krejci, after winning a battle down below the goal line. Those are all positive signs, but do they continue? And we've seen DeBrusque, in years past, and how he can really get streaky. And hopefully that's it. But it didn't happen after he scored his first goal of the season. So hopefully that occurs here. And then just playing the game the right way. So, we're going to have a month of the trade deadline. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of chatter about that as we move forward. What kind of player do you target if you do target anybody? Is it a defenseman? Is it a forward? They've certainly had their injuries on D. But the offensive part of the game right now is something that they're still, on a consistent basis, that they're still striving for.
And let's see what those details look like here this afternoon. In the big picture, the Bruins have not won back-to-back games in just over a month. I think it was February 10th and February 12th for the last time that they recorded back-to-back games. There's an opportunity that Brad Marchand may not play.
Aren't they 3-1-2 in the last six? You're such a glass half empty there, Jeff.
I was going to mention that the power play, if you look at the man advantage for the Bruins, right now it's just a shade under 26%. And I think we have to get a bigger picture on how hot it was to begin the season. If the season ended today, the Bruins' man advantage right now is better than it was last year, and it was second best in the league at 25.2%.
Yeah, it's hard to believe given the fact that they've really struggled here up until the last couple of games. And they haven't gotten a lot of opportunities up until the last couple of games either here. Even over the last handful of games, they have not gotten a lot of opportunities. I think the one strong sign right now is, six games, five goals against. And that's goaltending, team defense, and with all the injuries that they have on the back end, it says a lot about the way that they've played good team defense.
Well, you talk about the opportunities, but that goes hand in hand with a lot of what Don Sweeney sort of talked about earlier this week, and that was forwards getting to the interior of the ice. You have to be able to generate those calls and force those calls and force the opponent in those instances to cross the line in order to defend you, to keep pucks out of the net. And the Bruins They haven't done that consistently. We'll see if Brad Marchand plays here today. He did not practice. He got nicked up the other day against the Rangers. We saw some different line combinations for Bruce Cassidy the other day in practice. Zach Senyshyn, after making his season debut, gets injured. And Bruce Cassidy said it sounds like he's going to be out here for a while. What that means, we have no idea. But Charlie Coyle the other day played on the right side along with David Krejci. So let's see what the Bruins look like. Regardless, do they bring the same details in back-to-back games?
Well, you know, look, we've seen Bruce Cassidy over the years that he's been the head coach here. He's certainly not afraid to experiment with things a little bit, juggle the lines, both in game and in practices and whatnot leading up to a game.
But Ryan, I don't think this was an experiment. I do think it's interesting because we've seen Charlie Coyle, even when there have been injuries in the past and guys will take places on certain lines, he's always kept Charlie Coyle in the middle. But yeah. I think that this is a move to try and generate some more productivity from him.
Well, generate more productivity from him, but also, you know, you have to generate more productivity from the second line, from the third line in general. I mean, it's, you know, part of the issue with this team from the start of the year, even when things are going well, is that, you know, that top line does so much for you, but you can't count on that all the time. You can't count on that, particularly when you get into the playoffs. And so, you know, it's about trying to find some level of consistent scoring punch from your second, third line. And they get it at times, but we talk about so many of these guys and the lack of scoring consistency that they've got to figure out again here over the course of the next month where everybody fits, what they can get out of them, and whether they're going to have to add a piece to try to have that scoring consistency when the playoffs get here.
Well, but you're always challenged with the injuries as well, trying to figure out where everybody slots, right? I mean, and it's still an unknown. You know, they had a blueprint prior to the season, and that's just gone away because of injury to Kasha, injury to Krejci was hurt, you know, DeBrusque was hurt. So it kind of all went away. That was going to be your second line, if you want to call it that. And then, you know, you've got a third line of a couple newcomers and Richie and Smith playing alongside Coyle, and we haven't seen that hardly at all this season. But so they're trying to adapt. They're trying to figure it out. They're trying to get guys going. I mean, I think it was pretty clear, you know, when you hear the general manager talk and you know, you hear some of the things and how it's said that, look, you need more production. It's simple as that. And, you know, some guys need and a healthy scratch this week or this past week with Jake. You know, he got the good response in that game. Now he needs to build on it. It's just I think that I think they're trying to figure, you know, like you said, they're trying to figure out what they have, and I don't know if they have it. I think I needed a little bit more from Craig Smith offensively. He's a guy that can score 20 goals plus. I think they've gotten a lot from Richie. There are games, you know, goes a little quiet, but he's done his job. So just looking for a little bit more production, certainly, and as we already touched on, you know, DeBrusque and Coyle and Krejci. Offensively, you need more.
And the last component, Ryan, and part of this, you know, as we get into this, is at least this part, the Bruins have been banged up on the back end, and they're missing guys in particular who help the puck movers do what they do best. But the Bruins have only 5 goals from defensemen. That's tied for the fewest in the National Hockey League, along with the Winnipeg Jets. Now, I don't know if you expected a ton of goals from the back end, but I certainly think that the Bruins were hoping for, if healthy, that they would get some more production from D.
Yeah, McAvoy's pushed the pace, and he's done, you know, his job. And, you know, you had Grzelcyk, who's been hurt for a while. He's back in there, and he can certainly move the puck. But, you know, you don't have offensive defenseman back there. It's not a strength of their game. McAvoy can definitely do that, and he's evolving into that. And Grzelcyk can certainly move the puck. You know, does he have the big shot from the point? No, but he can do a lot of other things for you offensively. So how are you breaking the puck out? How are you getting through the neutral zone? How are you getting on the attack? You know, one of my pet peeves, and anybody that's listening, is, you know, what do you do from the offensive blue line to keep plays alive? You know, are you just taking that weak wrist shot towards the net with nobody in front, and it's going to take away all your momentum? You know, the forwards work so hard to get the puck down low. They're working, they're winning battles, they rotate it from low to high, And then there's nobody that is able to get to the front of the net. And you just take that wrist shot. It's gloved by the goalie, and okay, line change.
And it's not just
or shot blocks. You know, that type of thing.
I think
smart decisions.
I think that's a huge point. So it works hand in hand. And I know Don Sweeney, the general manager, sort of addressed this the other day. And again, this is also been an issue because of some of the injuries that you've had on the back end. But it's the ability of the defenseman to exit the puck, get through the neutral zone, and get the puck into the hands of the forward so they can get to the interior, so they can get to the good ice, create, as Bob likes to talk about all the time, those high-danger chances so they can generate goals.
All right, just getting started here on this week's Shaw's and Star Market Hockey Show. We are here to take your calls at 617-779-0985. We will get to some of those calls next.
This is the Shaw's and Star Market Hockey Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Dot, right circle, now the slot, fires, he scores!
All things Bruins and the NHL. The Shaw's and Star Market Hockey Show. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.5 the Sports Hub and the Shaw's and Star Market Hockey Show. Go shopping, get rewards, and save at Shaw's and Star Market by downloading the Just For You app. Shaw's and Star Market, official partners of the Boston Bruins Radio Network. Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, Bob Beers here with you. 617-779-0985 is the place for your calls, and we open things up with Maria in Watertown. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning, gentlemen. Here we are once again at about the midway point through a Boston Bruins season where we're still talking about not enough production from second, third, and fourth lines. I feel like I don't know how many years that I've been calling this show, but we seem to have the same conversation over and over again. Now, while I think that they will make the playoffs, you gentlemen tell me how successful this team is potentially going to be in the playoffs without solving the problem of secondary scoring. You know, you can move guys around all you want, but if the puck doesn't go in the net by anybody other than the first line, that is not a recipe for long-term success. And I think Don Sweeney, with injuries piling up, may be being backed into a corner potentially where he needs to make a move by hook or crook in order to get this resolved. So I want to get your thoughts on that. And I'd also like to get your thoughts on the comments between Bruce Cassidy and Jake DeBrusque with regard to him being sat during a recent game. Now, the young man did respond well, but he said a couple of things to in the post game that led me to believe that maybe he might not have been thrilled with the fact that Bruce Cassidy called him out publicly and openly, which, you know, in general, I'm not a fan of any coach doing that in sports. You keep those things in the locker room, but I'd like to get your thoughts on how that potentially played out or plays out. Thanks, guys.
All right. Appreciate the call, Maria. Let's start with the DeBrusque thing. There was very noticeable this week, not only that DeBrusque was a healthy scratch, but some of the comments that were made by Bruce Cassidy, you know, saying that the effort just hasn't been there on a consistent enough basis. Now, it's one thing for callers to the show to say it. It's one, you know, it's another thing for us to say it. But it's a much bigger thing generally when a coach says something like that. They got the effort that they were hoping for from DeBrusque on Thursday. But again, the big question becomes, we've seen that from him before. Can it be a sustained effort? Will it be there again today? Will it be there again this, you know, for the rest of this week, for the rest of this month, for the rest of the season? That's what, you know, the point is here that Cassidy is making, and it's a point that Don Sweeney made as well. He said, look, we're looking for the response. And, you know, we like the kid. We know he's got talent, but we need him to show that on a consistent basis.
I didn't get the same read off the comments from Jake DeBrusk taking umbrage with what Bruce Cassidy had mentioned. I think if I remember Jake's comments, he said, I know what I need to do. I'm an easy target. I understand the territory. He said he took it personally. Being scratched. I think any player does when you're sat out of the lineup. You're talking about the levers that coaches have to be able to get the best that they can out of the players that they have. That's managing situations, that's managing ice time, and ultimately it's managing whether or not you're in the lineup or not. And for Jake DeBrusk, it finally helped spur the details in his game. And he scored, as he said, because he used those details of his game to do the right things.
Well, listen, in my experience, it's a last resort. You know, they don't just walk in and say, all right, you're out. You know, there's video that you've watched. There's meetings with the assistant coaches. There's meetings with the head coach. It's one-on-one. It's meetings with, you know, your line, depending on who you're playing with that particular night. When you sit an impact player, a top six guy, right? Or, you know, someone that's expected to score, someone that's expected to do the job offensively. When you sit somebody like that, it's not you walk in one day and say you're sitting. There's a lot of things that lead up to it, and it's kind of the last resort. You know, what does a coach have as far as, you know, tools? We've seen guys sit this year. I think we've seen it a little bit more this year than maybe in the past. Maybe just because it's, you know, shortened season and the wins need to come. But now I can't speak for every coach, but the majority, the way I've seen it, you know, it just doesn't happen overnight where you end up in the press box. It's a process, and when you don't get the proper responses that you're looking for, then it's kind of your last. Okay, look, we got to see you. And then you hope that you get the proper response. And I think that they did in that last game, and now it has to continue.
Well, the issue is, you know, as you said, it's kind of a last resort because there's really nowhere to go after that, right? I mean, if you sit a guy and you don't get that response, then what? You know, then you're pretty much done at that point. So, you know, his name comes up, obviously, as a potential trade piece and all of that, and that will, you know, continue to happen, I'm sure, as we get closer to the deadline. The issue with that is, I mean, you're not exactly trading him at the top of his value market right now, if indeed you were going to include him as any part of any deal to make you better. You know, the guy's got one goal or two goals now during the course of the season. Other people around the league tend to notice things like that. So, you know, it's a tricky situation. There's really no great way to handle it. It's entirely falls on DeBrusk now. It's like, we've done everything. We've put you in a position. We've got, you know, good players around you. If you can't start scoring on a more consistent basis, then you're probably just not going to be here.
Bruce Cassidy has made a couple other subtle moves that I think have really helped Jake. First, and Beersey mentioned this heading into the game the other day, they put Jake back on his strong side. Mm-hmm. Now, I think Bruce Cassidy felt, because of the way Jake plays, that he could have made the transition and played the right side, but he felt putting him on his strong side, maybe that'll help. The other thing that they did to try and build more into his game was to put him on the penalty kill. We have seen him a lot more prominently on the PK for the Bruins, and that helps keep a lot of guys, especially top six guys, who don't normally kill penalties. David Pastrnak is a good example. It keeps them involved in the game. And maybe that also helped a guy like DeBrusk in the Ranger game. And we'll see if... Now, he's got to be able to do the job while he's out there killing penalties. And the Bruins PK has been the best in the National Hockey League to this point, just under 89%. Can he continue to do that? And maybe some of that greater ice time, those opportunities, responsibilities will bleed into his 5-on-5 game.
Let's go to Phil in Boston. You're up next on the Shaw's and Star Market Hockey Show.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Thanks for taking my call, and great show, by the way. But my question is really about looking at this team and the lack of secondary scoring. you know, it's pretty much anyone outside of the top line who are left wanting more from. But we're also seeing great team defense. So I guess my question is, from an X's and O's standpoint, is that really more of a matter of, you know, team structure right now, having forwards come back to support, since you have D-men 7, 8, 9 in the lineup every night? And, you know, I guess depending on the answer to that question, are you better off looking for a top four D-man at the trade deadline or trying to go out again for another top six winger? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Can I have both?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, theoretically, you'd love to have both.
It's... Sure. You know, so they went two games in a row. What did they allow, Judd? You probably have 13 goals against there. Those two games, was it 7-2 against the Islanders and then 6 that they allowed against the Rangers? Mm-hmm. Since then, they've been really, really strong on that side of the puck, on the defensive side, and I think the forwards have been a big factor in it. You know, we talked at that time, you know, before that Ranger game, that second Ranger game, how much the forwards can do to help out on the defensive side of things. And I thought that was one of their best defensive games of the year, where they won 4-1. And they've continued that. Now, they've had good goaltending. I thought Halak played very well the other day. He had to. There were a couple good opportunities for the Rangers throughout that game. But all in all, it's been a really strong team effort. It's not just defensemen. It's team defense. And they play it like that. The structure is there for them. And then when there's breakdowns, they've had the strong goaltending. So, you know, that's certainly... And that strong goaltending can cover up for a lot of mistakes when they are there. But all in all, it's been good. The defensemen have done a nice job moving the puck. I think getting Grizzlick back in that department has really helped. We've talked about McAvoy already. The addition of Tenorti, you know, I mean, he's not going to be an offensive defenseman, but he's done a good job on the penalty kill. He's blocked some shots. He's made himself big. You know, everybody knows about the fight that he had with Wilson after the hit. You know, but he's given you that physical presence on the back end, and he's... You know, he's a guy that was on waivers that coming from Nashville, a team that's really struggled this year, but he's come in and he's fit. And I think part of that is because he's adapted to the structure that the style of play that the Bruins have, and the way that they like to play in their defensive zone, or even killing plays that they like to call it, you know, at the blue line. And he's been able to adapt himself quickly, you know, and assimilate into the way that the Bruins play. So I've been impressed with him.
He led the Bruins in ice time the other night against the Rangers, playing 22-24. The other thing Yaroslav Halak mentioned to us after the game is that lately the Bruins have not gotten bogged down in their own zone. And to Bob's point, there is some mobility back there. The forwards have come back and helped. The goaltender has also helped, but they've exited quicker, and because of that, they're spending less time in their own zone, which means less goals against.
Just a quick question, Bob. You know, as we're talking about the defensive injuries, the forwards having to kind of maybe recommit a little bit more. I know it's not something that they try to get away from, but they try to recommit more to playing that team defense. Does that hurt them at the other end? Does that take away from some of those 5-on-5 scoring opportunities if they have to focus more on helping out as the caller said, 7, 8, and 9 D-men who are in the lineup on a regular basis?
I think some of it has to do with how long you're in your own zone, you know. But if you get out of the zone, you're just looking for a line change.
Right.
So you can't establish anything at the offensive end. They're in between, because prior to this stretch of 6 games where they've allowed 5 goals, they allowed the 13 goals against, and part of it was, you know, they're trying to score more 5-on-5,
right,
and they abandon their identity. So they need to get back their identity. And so now you find yourself in low-scoring games, and I think that helps them, you know, in the playoffs. And, you know, they become a more physical team. You know, you've got guys on every line, it seems like, that they can play, you know, a more physical brand. You know, when you get some of those bigger defensemen back, you hope that Carlo comes back, you hope that Miller comes back, you hope that Lozon comes back, and, you know, now you're kind of a stronger team on that back end because of it, you know, more physical team on the back end because of it. But I think that they are somewhere in the middle right now, what you're talking about, Ryan, with, okay, you know, how are we going to win games? You'd love to have the 5-on-5 scoring, and there's some chances there that they're not burying as well. The ability to get, I think when you have the ability, when your power play's on, you have the ability to get bigger leads in games, and that takes other teams out of their game, and now all of a sudden they're giving things up at the other end. So that hasn't quite happened on a consistent basis for them.
Ryan, I do think you bring up a good point. Bruce Cassidy, over the years, has talked about that in the past, that maybe the Bruins will sacrifice a little bit of five-on-five offense to retain their identity and keep pucks out of the net.
Judd and Bob are with us, and Ty Anderson will check in with us as well, and we'll continue to get more of your phone calls in at 617-779-0985 as we continue here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show.
The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on your home of the Bruins. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Press the stop.
This is the Beast of the Week, presented by Toro.
Here's Lindgren shoveling over the line into the near circle, now to the near corner. Pounds it out in front. Halak with a paddle down, made the save. And Halak with a stop right as the horn sounds on Trouba to secure the shutout. Yaroslav Halak with two straight clean sheets against the New York Rangers.
Well, with Tuukka Rask out this week, or at least for the last couple of games, Yaro Halak started back-to-back games. A shutout there of the Rangers on Thursday. Also allowed just one goal against the Islanders in the shootout loss on Tuesday. Yaro Halak is our Beast of the Week, presented by Toro. Tackle the season's toughest snow with the Toro Power Max Snowblower. Compact but durable enough to handle the toughest winters and incredibly easy to use, from America's number one brand in snow and an official partner of the Boston Bruins. Toro, count on it. Halak will get the start again today. Tuukka's condition still kind of up in the air, and there was some talk that if they do go to Pittsburgh this week without Rask for the back-to-back, that Halak would not start both of those games, that they'll give either Vladar or Swayman a start this week. But that, again, still to be determined. As we welcome you back into the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, and we welcome in Ty Anderson of 98.5thesportshub.com now. Good morning, Ty.
Hey, good morning, guys.
So as promised the other night, I will ask you the question that I said would come first, which is Jake DeBrusk, David Krejci, and the rest of the offense, one game bump or the start of hopefully a trend?
Well, with Krejci, I would say that he's played pretty well for the most part, and just hasn't had a goal. So with Krejci, I'm inclined to believe that this is sort of the come up, if you will. With DeBrusk, I want to see more of it, because we've seen this before, right? Go back to his first game back from injury in New York in February. He had seven shots on goal, multiple hits, multiple chances. And you think, okay, here he goes. And then he kind of petered out again. He didn't really do much after that. It kind of was back to the cold Jake DeBrusk that we've seen. So with Jake, I want to see more of it. You know, I thought his game on Thursday was great. You know, the message felt received. He was doing things that I feel like I haven't seen him do in a long time. There was one instance where behind the net, there's a 50-50 play kind of there with Brendan Smith, and he just bodies him, and he gets the puck and creates a chance. And I feel like I haven't seen that from him in a long time. So I really liked his game on Thursday, but you know, the old Jake, you'd see that and you'd know that the white hot run was coming, right? Like that 8 goals in 12 games or whatever he used to be able to do. Right. So you want to see that. He needs to build, right? He said that after the game, it's time to build. So here it is, time to build. I can't buy in yet. I've seen it before.
Well, you know, he said he's pissed off, and look, you know, he's hearing what people are saying about him. He's hearing, obviously, what the coach and the GM are saying about him. And I'm glad he's pissed off that, you know, if a player gets sat out, healthy scratch, they should be pissed off for a number of different reasons. I don't think, based on his comments, he's taking it the wrong way. I think he understands that there's an issue here. But again, it feels like the same story we've seen with him on multiple occasions.
Yeah, stay pissed, stay angry. I mean, that's iron sharpens the iron, right? Like I think that reaction and that mindset is actually good for him. You know, he tends to be like a goofier kind of character in the locker room, and that's totally fine. But on the ice, as an opponent, you know, you want to see him compete. You want to see him play with a little bit of anger, because when he does, he's an effective player. I mean, we've seen that before, right? When he gets in on the forecheck and he plays aggressive, he can make things happen. And so you want to see more of that. And so I stay angry. You know, join the club. It's a lot of fun, I think, when you play like that, and you see what can happen. So I think that's a perfect approach for him, and it needs to be more of a, I would say, just a nightly thing for him. So is he that kind of personality? No, but can it change his game? And if it can, like it did on Thursdays, stay angry. That's what I say.
This is his fourth year in the league. What is Jake DeBrusk's ceiling? Have we seen it, or is there more to him than what we have seen so far statistics wise?
Well, I don't think he's a 30 goal scorer. I would say that consistency until he
had 27 a couple of years ago, and here was a guy who didn't generate as much on the power play. I think the ceiling is certainly above 27 goals. He can get 30 playing with a guy like David Krejci.
Yeah, I need to see the difference between being white hot and ice cold. Like, until he develops that consistency, I can't buy in on him being a 30 goal guy. Like, that's the biggest thing for me. For me, I think if you get 25, I think you're happy. And that's not bad. I don't know if he's the 30 guy yet because of the consistency issues.
Well, and we also can't count on him playing with David Krejci beyond this year, right? I mean, that if you got to be playing alongside a top-notch center like Krejci, you know, that says something about your abilities as a player too.
Yeah, and with them, I you know, I'm curious if how you guys look at this, because I feel like this was a big difference here, playing the left wing versus playing the right wing with Krejci. Thought it made a difference on Thursday. It seemed like he was more comfortable there, which is natural, but you know, I feel like that's how they got to look at this now. And they say, listen, Jake DeBrusk is a left winger. He's not a right winger. He's a left winger only.
I think it certainly helps. He seems to be more comfortable playing on that side. But remember, you know, and this dovetails, Ty, I would agree. Listen, the issue with Jake is the consistency. He knows it. The coaching staff knows it. The hockey operations department knows it. His team understands that he's a streaky player. If he believes that he plays better on the left side, terrific. Last season, he played all year on the left side, essentially with David Krejci, until it got broken up late in the season. And then he got bounced around to Charlie Coyle's line. He only generated 19 goals. So I'm sure that playing in a more comfortable position is a help at this point, where you're trying to jumpstart his game offensively. But I think about the comments that Brad Marchand has really drilled down here in the last couple of years, talking about consistency and what separates both mediocre players to good players and good players to great players in the National Hockey League. And it's about confidence and consistency, bringing it every single night.
There's some maturity there too. And just to see the work ethic that a guy like Marchand has and what he brings to the table every day. You know, he's just the competitiveness, the work ethic, the way he conducts himself, and that, hey, look, he's always had the work ethic, but the other part of his game had to mature a little bit. But I think that, you know, with Jake DeBrusk, that's just part of it. It's just kind of growing up and seeing that and taking, you know, what somebody like Marchand does in front of him on the left wing, you know, as how he you know, how he brings it every game. And it's just, even when it's not quite clicking for him, that he just hates to lose, and the work ethic is there. And I think once in a while you see kind of like the body language go the other way or the opposite way with Jake. You know, if he goes down in the offensive end, it takes a little while to get up and get back into a play or, you know, whatever it is. But as far as the left and the right, we kind of addressed that earlier on the show. We talked about it before the game the other day and just how, you know, I think that that's – he's been playing a little bit out of position. People might not – it might not sound like a lot, but when you're struggling – Put yourself in a position to succeed, not yourself, but the coaches try to put you in a position to succeed. I think they did that with DeBrus the other day.
There are plenty of guys who are left shots who enjoy playing on the right side. They feel more comfortable with it. Maybe Jake is not at that point in his game. But getting back to his 27-goal season, he had 8 goals on the power play that year, which was, I think, 4th on the team. And when you think back to that last full season in the National Hockey League, how many opportunities he had on the man advantage, he could have easily had double digits on the power play, which would have put him above 30 goals.
We've got Ty Anderson, 98.5thesportshub.com, joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Ty, Don Sweeney spoke to the media this week, not about DeBrus, but also about some of the other pieces on this team and whether there may need to be some moves coming. And he talked about, you know, potentially having to shake things up, you know, even just kind of for the sake of shaking it up, the way things have gone over the course of the last month. Judd pointed out earlier, the Bruins haven't won back-to-back games in a month now. So what did you make of Sweeney's comments? Do you think, you know, he's going to, you know, look not just about maybe adding a piece, but about trying to move somebody off of the current roster to send a message into the room?
Yeah, I don't know if they're at that point where it's like, okay, we got to get someone out just so they can get them out. I do think that he almost understands that this can't be fixed by, you know, another shaking up of the lineup and say, okay, we'll put these two guys here or we'll move this guy in for a day, whatever it is. I think he understands that the gravity of the situation, that this has been a problem for a few years now, right? Just having that consistent scoring below the first line and at 5-on-5, it's been their Achilles heel. And can it be fixed by, again, just shaking it up within your group, within your lineup? Really, a little bit of bad luck here too for him, right? With Kasha being injured since the second game of the season, they bring up Seneshin. He looks good, but now he's hurt. He's going to miss some time. So they really haven't got a break here from the guys that they have brought in or brought up. Nick Ritchie playing the best hockey of his life has been a godsend for this team. I mean, think about where they'd be if he wasn't playing the way he's been playing this year. So Craig Smith hasn't been as good as he can be, or we saw in Nashville over the years. Charlie Coyle hasn't been as dominant as he was when he first got here, that playoff run. He's been too quiet some nights. So that's been a problem, right? You don't want to get rid of those guys, but you want to bring in somebody here that can, you know, maybe just be a more consistent threat. And so I think that with those comments, I think it's finally kicking in that, okay, maybe patchwork doesn't fix everything here. Maybe they understand the situation they're in and they're going to go for that big move versus the, you know, a couple of role players here or there. So I'm curious how that big move plays out with the cap and with the expansion draft and everything in between. The Bruins do have some deadline cap space though, so they can make a big move. It's just, what is the price? Can it fit? And is it a true shakeup versus Drew Stafford, for example, you know, so I'm curious to see how that plays out for them.
It just is amazing and in a way very frustrating that, as you pointed out, as Maria pointed out when she called earlier, we have this same conversation around this team every single year. And it's, I know they've tried a number of different ways to fix it. They've traded away first round picks and they've brought guys in via free agency. And it just, it's like this black hole that exists on this team that no matter what you throw at it, it hasn't improved the problem. And I guess, you know, you look, they're going to take another swing at it, I think, is the popular opinion. It's just, I don't know how you can have confidence that it's going to get fixed in season when you've tried so many times and it just hasn't worked out.
No, it's true. I mean, it's wildly frustrating. It's wildly frustrating. And it's been a problem really since the days of, you know, after Iginla and after Riley Smith. And Riley Smith was bad as last year here, but like it's been that long since you looked at their roster and said, okay, they have a strong second line right wing, or, you know, top six, a good top six right wing group. So you look beyond that, and I just think that you got to do something, right? Because the foundations of what you have make you a dangerous team, right? The strong special teams, a good first line, good goaltending, the team defense, given the losses, right? The offseason losses, the team defense has given you basically everything you could ask out of them. You need to get what you can to be, you know, a more complete team at 5-on-5, because I just believe that the foundational pieces you have set you up to be a good team. So it really is about finishing the product, in my opinion.
Easy to overlook it because Halak has been excellent the last couple of games, but Tuukka Rask being out for this week, and we don't really know what his status is going to be here in the short term. How concerned should we be if we have any idea about where Tuukka's health is right now?
Well, concerned, I'm not as concerned because I've seen what this team looks like when Halak realizes he can, you know, be the one for a little bit. I'm concerned if it, you know, bleeds into game one of the playoffs. But right now, I think Halak running as the one, we've seen this before, that he can do this for a couple of weeks, maybe 3 weeks. I mean, it tends to kind of turn back into a pumpkin after you give him six in a row, I'd say, but he can run with this. So, and he's been great. He's been phenomenal, these last few weeks here. And again, the defense in front of him has helped him out, but, thought he played very well, on the island, very well on Thursday. So, I'm okay with it. And I said it to you guys last week, I'd love to see Vladar in a situation that isn't mop up duty against the Stanley Cup champions. So I'm almost okay with it. If it's not a long-term thing, I mean, if we're still talking about his back or whatever it is that's hurting, 2 months from now, then I'm concerned because we've seen what happens when Tuukka is not available to this team in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Well, Ty, to your point, I think what will be interesting is whether it's Vladar or Swayman, because both are playing well and both have opportunities to play next week.
Yeah, Swayman just went to 7-0, and his goals against ballooned to like 1.57. So
can you hear the Black Bear pride in there?
That's right. That's right. Humane. But I think Vladar has you know, his numbers are good as well. But, you know, the fact that he's been in the organization a little bit longer maybe warrants the opportunity for him if that situation arises.
Yeah, I guess
ahead of Swayman is what I'm saying.
You know, it just across sports, when you see or hear back injury, you know, that to me kind of automatic red flag, because, you know, anybody who's ever had any back issues, it's, you know, those things can linger and pop up at the wrong times. And, you know, when I see Tuukka, you know, grabbing his back and skating off the ice, it's like, ooh, that doesn't look good. And, you know, that's where I get concerned is, is it going to be something that he can get over in a week or two? If so, great. If this is something that starts to become a longer-term issue like it becomes for some guys, that's where it gets really scary.
Yeah, and I've said this about Grizzly before, and I'll say it about Rask. Just wait till he's 100%. He's too important to risk a month-long absence. I think you gotta think long term here. As hard as that is in a 56 game season, and with the schedule the way it is, you gotta preserve these guys because they're so damn important to this team's ultimate goal. That if I'm them, I'm just terrified of doing something, you know, to win a Tuesday game in Pittsburgh. If that's gonna mess up your aspirations for May, June, and July, that's a terrifying thought to me.
Ty Anderson, you can read his Bruins coverage at 98.5thesportshub.com. Appreciate the time as always, Ty.
Thanks for having me, guys.
He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. We will get back to your calls coming up at 617-779-0985. But right now, it is time to give you a chance to pick up a $100 gift card for Sports Etc. Caller number 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line at 617-931-0985. We'll get that $100 gift card for Sports Etc., everything for hockey and more at 1303 Mass Ave in Arlington. Online at sportsetc.net. Boston's best hockey shop. So 617-931-0985 if you'd like to pick up that gift card. We will be back with more of your calls in hour number two of the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show.
This is the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.